Good morning. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we are going to be discussing a relatively new, but it really isn't that new. It's probably 2-3 years that you've Erwan Lacour has been developing the company MoveNat. I'm sure he's been developing the philosophy long before the company actually came into to being, but I am totally looking forward to having Erwan in the show today to talk about efficient movement in space. And I think there are so many trainers, so many coaches that are doing bodybuilding type programs for athletes, and what ends up happening is the athletes are maybe getting stronger, but they're not necessarily getting better on the field. And I think Erwan has put together a great philosophy that I feel should be implemented into many more programs than it is. It's so cool. So, Erwan, how are you doing today?
Hi, Stephen. I'm doing great. And you?
More excited than you know. I tell you, this morning I did have the opportunity to start up our team consulting, which we work with probably about 10 or 15 teams here locally. And I was able to give the kickoff meeting and this morning, and I was able to talk about nutrition and then to bring in the paleo diet type of approach, and everybody looked at me funny, you know, and then they said, and then I talked about taking fluoride out of water and all the, and they all looked at me funny all the more. I tell you, it really is, it's a great day, I tell you, when you can bring some light to a subject that people maybe not have discussed. So, but today we're talking about the world of moving efficiently. But before we go further, let's have you give the listeners your background, you know, where did this philosophy come from, and then ultimately the creation of MoveNat.
All right. So first off, thanks, Stephen, for having me on this show. I'm excited myself and always excited to share my perspective and, you know, talk about my work, and hi to everybody who's listening to this show. So I am, I'm originally from France. I'm in my 40s, early 40s. So I live now in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I moved to the U.S. about 4 years ago, and I'm happily married with our first young child. So life is very good, talking about MoveNat and how the idea came to me. Well, it's relatively simple. When I was a young boy, my dad would take me to the woods and have me crawl and climb and jump and balance and do all these natural movements. So from an early age, I was lucky that not only I was pushed to go play and move outside, but my dad would even lead by example. So it is true that I started the company about 4 years ago, but I've been working on these concepts for about 10 years, and it's actually not new in the sense that first the movements that we train in MoveNat are natural human movement skills. So we're talking about walking, running, jumping, crawling, balancing, climbing, and then manipulative skills such as lifting, carrying, throwing, and catching, and then also swimming skills and even combative skills. So the whole range of natural movements, movements that are that belong to our human species as a whole. As a matter of fact, these movements have two main qualities. One is that they are practical. They are useful in the real life, in the real world. And secondly, they are adaptable. It means that the physical competence that you acquire through the practice of efficient movement and also the conditioning that you acquire and develop through the practice of efficient movement is adaptable to practical context that includes a variety of environments and a variety of situations. And this approach is actually not new. There's a long line of people. The history of physical education is made up of a long line of people, especially in Europe, with mostly and mainly the German and the French lineages, if I may say. And I'm of course, come from the French lineage. And there have been a variety of physical training systems in the past. You know, fitness does not start with bodybuilding or aerobics. It starts long before before the ancient Greeks, actually, with the Egyptians and Mesopotamians and the Assyrians, etc. But back to around 200 years in Europe to this day, there has been a number of methods for physical training. And until the early 20th century, when the physical education and physical training field as a whole start to heavily focus on specialized sports for competition and for entertainment. But before that, physical education was all about producing individuals that are physically adept, physically competent, and physically and mentally, that can basically move through space in practical ways. So the early types of gymnastics and calisthenics were not based on doing tricks and performing for an audience and to impress them, or calisthenics in the sense of just targeting body parts. It was about building whole mind-body strong individuals that could perform effectively and efficiently in the real world. And MoveNat fully embraces that mentality. And of course, it translates to a particular practice. And this mindset, this approach to physical training has practically completely disappeared from the field of fitness, from the fitness industry as a whole. And I'm fully dedicated to bringing that approach back at a wide global level. I'm that ambitious, and that's my mission.
Oh, you gotta love ambition. I have like thoughts of my own, and it's funny when you mention this idea that it's left fitness, because it's funny. I took a history class. I'm finishing up my bachelor's degree, and one of the things that I went into a history class and I said I would like to study the world of history, or not the world of history, but the world of fitness and how it came to be. And everybody looked and they laughed because they just assume it's women's fitness or men's fitness or something like this, where it's the 7 days to, you know, hard rock abs or something like this. And I was literally amazed when you moved back into what you talked about is the physical education component. And how far back that really goes, and that really, honestly, if we get down to the brass tacks, what is sport really about? It's about doing what you want to do when you want to do it, and then having the ability to actually do it, if that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. It's the physical competence, movement competency. You're basically equipped with the ability to and the capability to respond effectively and efficiently to both predictable and unpredictable situations in a variety of environments, and that demand a physical response from you. So in that sense, the size of your biceps does not matter at all. But it's not how fit you look that matters. It's how fit you are. Show me how well you can move. Show me how well you can perform, and I'll tell you how fit you are. I like to provide a new definition of a beach-ready body. A beach-ready body is not six abs, six-packs, abs, and like the conventional idea of what a fit body looks like. No, a beach-ready body is when you are on the beach and somebody's drowning and you're able to sprint you know, in a pinch, you sprint, you dive, you hold your breath and dive and pull that person out, bring them back to the shore, and then put them on your back and bring them back to safety. That would be a much more sensible, realistic notion of having a beach-ready body to meet. So the philosophy here is that, one, there is much more to building the body than just building muscles. And two, there is more to building an individual than just building the body. So MoveNat is not, of course, not just a philosophy. It's a real practice that has a method that includes some old principles, but also some new principles, exercise science, notions of biomechanics, kinesiology, and programming. But it is also the idea that we want to approach the individual as a whole, not just as body parts, not just for superficial cosmetics improvements, like, okay, better looking bodies. This is very superficial. This is actually shallow. I mean, if you want to be a healthy, strong and healthy individual, then there's a lot of work to do at many aspects. So fitness to me is not just the development of your body. It's your energy levels at physical, mental, and even spiritual level, if I may say.
You know, the funny thing is that you mentioned, and I'm going to concur 100% with you, is that a couple of weeks ago I listened to a rapper of all people from Public Enemy, and he was asked the question, what is the real power in this world? And his answer was the mastery of yourself and the knowledge of your surroundings. And that is the epitome of what you just described. If you can get your body in a position where it is completely aware of its surroundings, can do whatever it would like to do at that time, then you have a level of power that is greater than if you don't, or you just have big biceps.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowing who you are, choosing, defining, and then modeling yourself the way you want to be, that is power. And then, of course, we do not exist, nobody exists separated from the world, from others, and from the world. So the knowledge of your surroundings, the knowledge of the context, that's what Public Enemy says surroundings, and I talk about context. Where is it that you live? Where are the various influences that are around you? And the goal is to be happy. The goal is to be free and happy, to experience yourself in the best way possible.
Cool. So, all right, let's come back because I want to. Oh, go ahead.
All right, yeah, we could talk a lot about philosophy, but I guess that your audience probably want to talk about, hey, talk to me about, like, results, gains, and sets and reps, and things like that, because to me it's more tangible, all right? Well, it is tangible, but it is rational, but actually perception, whatever you call it, perception, philosophy, outlook, perspective, standpoint, ideas, psychology, this is what defines us, and this is the way we think and defines the way we act and what we practice. So defining your values, your ethics, your approach well is going to make your practice much more effective than it is if you haven't done that work before.
All right. I've got four questions that come out of the things that you just mentioned. So
yes,
what I'd like to
questions.
Do is, go ahead, is I would like for you to sort of, I'm going to pose the question, then I'm going to then it's like to give your thoughts to it, and then I'm going to go down to these three or four questions, and then we're going to go to a break, because I really, these are questions that have been really making a lot of sense to me recently, is that in your philosophy, What is your viewpoint of the brain or central nervous system connection with movement?
Well, but of course it's essential. Like, this is a no-brainer. I mean, muscles, you know, you've ever heard of like muscle confusion? I think this this statement is hilarious, because muscles cannot be confused. Only the brain can be confused. Muscles have no they have no neurons. They have no intelligence per se. I mean, they are tools. They are not what orders the body to move. They are tools. They provide they are tools for movement. They don't decide movement. The movement happens in the brain before it happens in the body. Of course, there is a strong correlation. There is a strong interaction, and the brain will decide what movement to do in relation to a lot of signals and information from movement itself, and also from the environment where you are, where you move. But of course, muscles alone, I mean, it's just rubber. It's just, you know, muscles and joints, they're the tools. The brain is where movement happens. And the more, the smaller, we talk about body intelligence, but still that intelligence is in the body only in the sense that the brain is in the body too, right? But it happens in the brain. So the central nervous system is essential at generating movement, and also at generating more efficient movement. And as a matter of fact, from an evolutionary standpoint, the primary reason why we have a brain is for movement. And so there is no it's not a surprise that focusing on mindful, efficient movement is going to boost brain function. And of course, the more functional your brain, the more ability for you to move in smart ways and in effective and efficient ways.
Fascinating. All right, so now let's move over to the idea of what I would define, and it happened again this week, and I'll kind of give just a little bit of a story, and then I'll ask the question, is that Clay Matthews, which is the big linebacker for the Green Bay Packers up here in Minnesota, was on stack.com showing off his upper body workout, where basically he was doing a tricep extension with the muscle shirt, you know, giving us the full, you know, look down the bicep, you know, the traditional pose you see in almost every high school, high school weight room, if you will. And then they had a picture of his trainer, and I challenge everybody, because we're going to put the link up on our site, but basically his trainer looked like he had bigger biceps than he did legs. So he was big biceps down to two sticks. And then, you know what I'm saying? It's just this traditional, not even a bodybuilding thing, it's just this idea of aesthetics, and if I've got big biceps, then I can be cool. How would you, or what would you say to athletes that are training this way and looking for a new way?
Well, if they're looking for a new way, I may have some insights. But, I mean, if having bulky arms is part of, like, looking cool and having more fans, then it has to do with probably with income. You know, the more popular and the more followers, and maybe the more money you make, and in that sense, then maybe it makes sense that you make sure that you also look good physically, from at least from conventional modern standards. Now, from a functional standpoint and from a practical standpoint of the pure performance, well, of course, I mean, if you are doing strength conditioning drills for the sake of hypertrophy, that's one thing. If you're doing, in that case, it's not even strength conditioning, it's bodybuilding. Now, if talking about strength conditioning for the sake of performance, so you want to acquire more strength or even more power, then it just totally makes sense. And especially because, well, these athletes are highly specialized. They usually specialize on one skill, and within that skill, they usually specialize even on one particular technique, one throwing technique, for instance, that is going to be the main talent. And because they've been practicing the throw, they've been practicing the movement pattern so much, with so much focus, so much mindfulness, that they've developed high-level efficiency in that particular software. It's like the body is the hardware, but without the software, you can do nothing with it. So the movement skills and technique are the softwares. And obviously, first off, you need the software. And then secondly, if you can have a bigger, stronger, more performing software, hardware, then, you know, it's even better. So if you're going to do strength conditioning, if you are a highly specialized athlete, it makes sense only on the basis that you have already developed high-level performing software, the technique, the skill. However, you know, I believe that the more problem with specialized athletes is that usually they start very early in terms of specialization. They start very early, which like at a young age, because that's when they're being spotted and recruited, and then they start the training, and people are like, okay, this guy has the potential to become a champion. So he's going to, you know, play baseball, and he's going to train baseball, and just that. The problem with that is that the body is a whole unit, and the better mover you are, like generally speaking, being able to move well at every level of human movement, natural human movement, then I believe that you can be an even better specialized athlete. But if you don't give time to your body to develop the full range of human movement skills, then you may become a very good specialized athlete. But I believe, and that's my belief, I may not be substantiated, but that's my belief and my observation, is that you may not become as good as you could have been.
All right, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back to continue our discussion about the, I would almost say, the balanced long-term development of young people. So thank you, Irwin. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Stephen.